the 43rd Psalm, if you would, if you'll stand this evening. We'll read these verses together. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll look at the message the Lord's laid on my heart. But this was a Psalm of David, and if you look at the 43rd Psalm, it really goes well together with the 42nd Psalm. It's almost like it was one thought put together. But David cries out to the Lord, and he says this. He says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. Then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." And verse 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." And let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be here, Lord, not only in this congregation tonight, but also the privilege, Lord, and it is a great privilege to stand in this pulpit and, Lord, to share the thought that you've put on my heart. Lord, I pray that all that's said and done here tonight will lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, your humble servant certainly brings a simple message tonight that we pray will be a great blessing to all those that have gathered here for the single purpose to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, we pray for our pastor who's traveling this evening, Lord, that you'll just be with him as he goes to be a blessing to others and to preach the gospel message that you've laid upon his heart. But Lord, we pray for this congregation that we'll be a people who are faithful, Lord, a people who want to live in the righteousness that you've called us out. And Lord, that we might be very diligent in doing the work that you've given us to do in our hands. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. I want to ask you as we begin our service this evening to think about some of the events that you would characterize as important to your life. If you were going to sit down with someone and they didn't know you and you were beginning to introduce them, you might tell them some things about you. And Brother Wayne, you might start with some things that were very good and very positive. And you might talk about the fact that you just had your 40th anniversary and your daughter and your grandchildren. You might talk about what you did. You might talk about real positive things that were wonderful in your life. Each one of us would probably share that. But I would guess that each one of us also has something in our life that we despise. We've had an event, and I look around here at the congregation that we would characterize as awful and traumatic and disruptive and something that if we could do anything about it in life, we would have made that one thing go away. Something that is just a thorn, as Paul said, in his flesh, and something that we would seek God and say, "God, why did you allow this thing to happen to me?" And I would tell you, I don't care what your age is, I believe everybody in this auditorium would have something like that. Something that brought sorrow. Now, in our life, we know that there are times when the normal conditions, the normal things of life come in and terrible things happen. But we also recognize through the testimony of even the Lord Jesus Christ and others in the Bible that there are times in life when God brings things into our being that are for his goodness and his glory. And while we may not want it, we may not want any experience with it at that point in time, we can look at it and say that God will bring good from this. I think about how our Christian testimony, the things that we might share to others about the goodness of God, are often supported by unusual events that happen in our life. In the Bible, we know the biblical truth that Jesus loves us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know that you are a precious treasure to him. Now, we walk through the days of our lives, and we walk through the circumstances of life, and let's be very transparent, very truthful, very open. There's not one of us here who lives a perfect life. We needed a Savior on the day that we got saved. We needed a Savior on the day we got born. We'll need a Savior on the day that we die, and every day in between there, we will fail him. The very best that we can do in living for Christ, the Bible has described as filthy rags that would be of no interest to God. But there is a biblical truth that even though we're not worthy, and even though we don't merit it, that God loves us supremely. If you're saved, you're loved, you're treasured, and you are a precious vessel to God. So then if we look at this, and we look at David's life in particular, and we understand this biblical truth that God loves his children, we begin to look out and we say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? I'll never forget a few years ago when we were at Still Creek Missionary Baptist Church that there was a young lady who greatly loved her grandfather. And he was a tremendous man, and he was a good friend to us, a good friend to the church. And as he began to come to the place in his life where he was going to pass because of the health situation, she came and she asked, "Brother Ralph, you know, why do things like this happen?" She was very young, in her teens and early teens, and we began to try to help her with that. But the fact of the matter is that we do have problems. And David, here in this psalm, cried out to a holy God, asking him that he might judge him, that he might plead his case to an unrighteous world. And he called upon God and called him his strength. He called upon God and said that in God I can have hope. And surely we know that God is the health of our countenance. The Lord Jesus Christ loves each one of us. And the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, that there are so many things that are impossible to separate us from the love of God. You ever think about how much God loves you? And as Paul wrote in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and he was trying to exhort this church in Rome, which was being persecuted, and he wrote these words. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And he goes on to say, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So if we have this incredible relationship with God that even though we're unworthy allows us to enter into eternal life in heaven, how is it that we still suffer sometimes here on earth? That terrible things come, that troubles come, that even his most devoted children suffer the things here on this earth. Well, I want you to look at a couple of people we're going to call attention to from God's elect, as it were. These were men, these were women that are mentioned in the book of Hebrews, and we know that they were the pillars of faith, that God looked upon them and used their life and used their ministry to be a witness to those that are around them. I want you, if you would, to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis, to the very last chapter, to Genesis chapter 50. And we're going to look at the first man here this evening. He's a very familiar gentleman. His name was Joseph. And Joseph was a man who gave us a verse, a statement, as it were, that I think it would do good for us to look at this evening. When we began to look at Joseph's life, we understand that he was betrayed by his own brothers, that he was enslaved by a group of people he did not know without mercy. He was falsely accused when he was doing what was right, and he was isolated from everything that was important to him. And yet the Bible tells us that when Joseph came to the end of his ministry, I guess as it were, to the day where his brothers came to him, he could have looked at the situation and said, "Whoa, look at all the bad things that happened to me. I've been battered, I've been abused, I've been betrayed." But yet Joseph took a different road. And if you look in Genesis chapter 50, we're going to look at the 18th verse, and we'll read just a few verses here, but his father has passed away. His brothers are very concerned that they're now going to be held accountable for what they did earlier to Joseph. They've sent a messenger, and Joseph has wept at the message of forgiveness, really, that they sought. And in verse 18 of Genesis 50, the Bible, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records this. It says, "And his brethren also went, and they fell down before Joseph's face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought it evil against me.'" And here's the thought for this evening: "But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Amen. You see, Joseph looked at his situation, and instead of seeking revenge, instead of doing what would have probably felt good in the flesh, he decided to praise God. He decided to give God the acknowledgement that God can work through the difficult circumstances of life to bring about good that we don't consider. I want you to think about another man who's recorded in the Bible. His name was Job. And the Bible tells us that Job lost everything, that because God allowed Satan to come into his life and to begin to destroy and to try to devastate Job. The Bible tells us he lost his children, he lost his wealth, he eventually lost his health, he lost really everything that was important to him. Job retained his integrity, Job retained his witness in God, but how he suffered, Brother Larry, unmercifully at the hands of the world, at the hands of Satan that was around him. And yet the Bible, in the book of Job, the second chapter, the ninth and tenth verse, the Bible tells us that his wife came to him and said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job made this very simple statement. He said, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Now, what had happened to Job wasn't orchestrated by God, but it was allowed by God. And we understand the difference there. And yet Job, when he came to that point, said, I believe that God, in his greatness, in his infinity, in his creativity, that he can do something good even from the most miserable circumstances of life. I can go back in my own life, Brother Bob, and I can look at the things in my life that have brought me shame, have brought me a great discomfort. The things I look back that if I could pay any amount of money and have those things erased, not just from my memory, but from ever being the sins that haunt me to this day, I would take them away. But I'm going to tell you that there are going to be things in our life that we're going to have to deal with. And there's going to be things that come to us in our life that are not because of our own sin, because of our own transgressions, but because God allows things to happen in our life, as he did to Job, as he did to Joseph, that he might be given a witness to the world around us today. Even John the Baptist, that beloved counterpart of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was preaching the coming of a Messiah, he was oppressed and he was opposed. Until his very execution. And this list of those of God's elect who suffered, even as they deserve not to suffer, would include David and Noah and Abraham, Elijah, and many others as they're recorded in the book of Hebrews. So I'd ask you tonight, church, are you with me? Do you understand that sometimes things happen in our life and God has a purpose for them? He has meant something good out of it. That yes, we might suffer for a small season, but it will speak to the people around us of the goodness and the greatness and the infinity of God as we begin to come through this. So Joseph made the statement to his brothers. He said, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. So then I began to consider, as the Lord laid this message on my heart, what does it mean? God meant it. What is it? And I began to think about how it, that one thing that becomes the, as it were, one of the defining moments of our life, could be very different for different people. Now, we understand that there are things that happen to us which are natural in their course of disruption. We have situations that happen to all people, and they're kind of common. Those type things could be related to our health or conflict or some struggle, but even sometimes it's things that are self-inflicted. That happened to us, and they bring trouble into our life, as it were. But I don't know that's what it talks about here. I think it talks about some of the things that we face as trials that God might allow to happen in our life. Why? Why does God allow things to happen like that? Because the power of our faith, the strengthening of our testimony, the greatness of our witness of the forgiveness of God is amplified. You understand, Brother Ralph, that when I talk to many people and I begin to really get to know them and discover who they are, they talk about the things that shape their life. Most of the time, they don't tell me about the positive things that shape their life. They tell me about the difficult things where they could hardly get a breath, where they could hardly stand upright, where they could hardly take the next step and go forward. And Brother Ralph, they'll talk to me about the goodness of a God who made a way. Amen. Who made a way through the power of the Holy Spirit that they might go forward. Certainly Joseph was that man. He should have given up. I mean, most of us would have quit, quite frankly, when we were pulled out of the pit and put in slaves and sold into a country that we didn't want to be sold into and what have you. I wonder how many of us would have remained true to God. But God had a power to deliver Joseph. And the Bible tells us, in fact, in this verse 20 of the 50th chapter of Genesis, that God meant it unto good, and he gives us definition to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Why does God allow things to happen in our life? Because it might be just the thing that brings someone around them to the knowledge that they need a Savior. This life, no matter how long we live, if you become the longest living human on the face of the earth, it's not very long. And then we enter into a place of eternity. And the greatest thing that we need to know is what is our eternal situation with God. Either we're going to be saved and we're going to know that we have life eternal in the world to come, or we're going to be desperately destroyed if we go to that place called hell that was not created by God for His children. We want to avoid this place. And so what is it? Why does it allow? I think that it is going to be a circumstance that brings glory unto God. When you look at Job, when you look at John the Baptist, the persecution he had, when you look at Paul and the reference that he had, when you look at Joseph, the it that God allowed to happen in their life increased the testimony and the witness of God to all those that were around them. It was God ordained. It was God allowed. Sometimes that circumstance in our life that becomes a defining moment could even be God created. And I believe that it could be different based upon each person's life. But it has a common end, which is to bring good as sought by God Himself. I know in my own life there have been circumstances that have come to be, and I recognize those, Brother Ralph, as those circumstances that were it, because they made a difference to the people that were around me. I talked with a lady a couple of weeks ago, and she said she was traveling with her husband, and there was a discussion and a nice couple, what have you, and there was a point at which the husband was careful to call attention to the wife and said, you know, honey, it's okay, but, you know, not everything is about you. And y'all are laughing. You ever get that back from your spouse? Don't we always think that it's all about us? Don't we often consider that we're at the very center of the universe? When God says we're important, but the center of His universe is Jesus Christ. The center of His universe is eternal life. Amen? The center of His universe is for us to know that we have life eternal, the saving of many lives, as it were. And I tell you what, God sometimes allows bad things to happen in our life, things we don't want, that we might be a witness unto good. You see, it's only God Himself who has the ability to bring victory from disaster. It's God who can reach down and begin to shape very difficult circumstances of life, that we begin to recognize that even though they were things we did not want to endure, God had His hand upon them. I think about the writings of Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and Paul began to talk about the ministry that he had, and he was trying to encourage the church at Corinth, and he talked about the shipwreck, and he talked about the beatings, and he talked about the persecution and the time that he had spent in prison, and he talked about the difficulty that had been in his life. And then he goes on, and he gives the glory to Christ. Folks, I'm going to tell you today that Paul had it right when he said to live is Christ and to die is gain. But we don't want to live that way. Most of the time, we would prefer that it all be the days of roses as opposed to the days of oppression. But think about it. The truth of the matter is that we're going to probably do more for God when things go bad and we endure. And we represent as a good soldier to the people around us that cloud of witnesses that does so greatly encompass us. We're going to do more good for God probably on those days than on the days when everything goes right. So Joseph wrote that but God meant it unto good. So let's think about those words, unto good. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to put myself first and foremost on this. We look ahead and we look around and we try to figure things out as the children of God. And every once in a while, if we're really, really fortunate, we get it right. But most of the time, our vision is very shallow and it's very narrow. We just don't know. But we serve a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We serve a God who owns time as we know it, the Alpha, the Omega. There is no difference to Him. What has not been is already the past to Him. And when we begin to look at Him and think about God, you really do know what good is. I think it begins to help us to focus that God looks at the suffering that we might suffer as a point to create strength for something that we might need in the future. He looks at the ends of our life and begins to say that through this event, I can bring conviction. I can bring faith. I can bring about something that is amazing that will cause the world to stop for a moment and to recognize who Jesus is. I'll give you a great example of that. We won't turn there for the sake of time. But if you were to look in the book of John, the 11th chapter, the 15th verse, there's a story there about a man whose name was Lazarus. And Lazarus was a good friend of God. The Bible tells us that he was a friend of the Lord Jesus, and when he was sick and when he was in difficult circumstances, what did Jesus do? He sent unto Jesus, and Jesus delayed just a bit, and when he came to Lazarus, the world looked around and said, too late. Lazarus is already dead. He's been placed in the tomb. He's gone. There is no hope. And if you go back and read the scriptures, and I would encourage you to do it, in the book of John, the 11th chapter, the 15th verse, Jesus said these words. He said, I'm glad that this has happened to the intent that ye may believe. See, Brother James, the it in Lazarus' life is God allowed him to die. Now, he brought him back through the power of his voice, through the resurrection, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in that circumstance, he allowed him to go to that grave for 4 days. Why? Because the it here that God meant for good was that much people might recognize Jesus is the Son of God. No man had ever preached. No man had ever performed this type of miracle. No man had ever went forward in the power of what Jesus did. In fact, we see in the scriptures that this was really a turning point. This was a point at which those that opposed Jesus and wanted him gone said, we just can't take it anymore, as it were. This man is going to have everybody following him because of these miracles. He demonstrated through the resurrection of Lazarus after God had allowed him to die that it was natural death. When we think about what God does in our life to bring about good, we think about the changes and the effect that others around us might see in that. I was reading the book of Hebrews, that great faith chapter, and it talks about these who suffered and these who were sown asunder and these who faced difficulties. And I think about men like Elijah who went and they faced the 400 prophets of Baal and how God prevailed there. But the it moment was something that happened in their life, that the adversity that came upon them caused those around them to have great faith. I think that that's who we don't want to be as a church, but I think that's who God calls us sometimes to be as individuals. I heard a man, and he testified years ago, and he was a former military person. His name was Cleve McCleary, and I heard him speak at a conference, and he's an amazing man, and he's much older. I'm not sure if he's still living, Brother Bob. But he talked about how when he was in Vietnam, there was a time when he was leading a platoon, and he talked about how the platoon was overtaken, and in this military combat, it was himself, and it was a few soldiers, and they kept fighting, and it was a vicious, terrible battle. But he talked about how in all of this, he was able to prevail. And he talked about the wounds that he had, and he was badly, badly, badly wounded and badly damaged, and so many in his platoon were lost. But he gave glory to God at the end of it, not for the battle, Brother Ralph, but for the ability to go forward and to continue to preach. And that one event became a testimony, as it were, of turning point where he could begin to talk to people. Most of us have something in our life that while we may or may not want it there, God has placed it there that it would be a testimony. I want you to think about the 43rd Psalm with me again, and we'll finish here in just a few minutes. But David, who certainly knew what it was to be a child of God, who knew what it was to be favored, David, who had walked out on the battlefield and had fought that 9-foot-plus, giant Goliath without body armor or anything on, David, who had been pursued by Saul, who'd been delivered, David, who was so insignificant that when the prophet of God came to look to anoint the next king, his dad, Jesse, didn't even think, I got one more son. He's out there. You probably don't want him. He was just a ruddy youth. David knew what it was to put his faith in God. David also knew what it was to have difficulties in life. David wrote these words, "Judge me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength." God uses difficulty that we might recognize, as the little children sing, "I am weak, but he is strong." Christ has the ability to change our hearts. Christ has the ability to change our eternal destination. Christ has the ability, and if you'll forgive me, frankly speaking, he has the license to do things in our life that we don't always want to be done. The hard times are sometimes the times that God uses. He meant it for good. David, in this text, the 43rd Psalm, he talked about the ungodly, the unjust, the deceitful people. He talked about the oppression that comes on him by the enemy. But yet he talked about the hope that he could place in God. I would ask you tonight, we talked about Job, we talked about Joseph, we talked about David. What about your life? I asked you at the beginning of this message just a few minutes ago, is there something in your life that you just despise? That if you could make it go away, you'd pay any amount of money to make it go away. Paul said that he sought the Lord thrice for the thorn that was in his flesh. And yet whatever it was, God used it, I believe, in a way that brought good. God uses difficulty. What is yours? Pain, oppression, is it a difficult circumstance? Maybe it's a condition in your family, in your neighborhood, at your job. I don't really know. But I can tell you that God is able to deliver. And each one of these men that we've named, whether it was David, whether it was Noah, whether it was Joseph or Joshua or John the Baptist, they had an attitude towards God. They said, "God, we may not enjoy this, but we expect and we trust and we have confidence that you can bring it to something of good." He's the only one that's capable. We may not seek the things that happen. We may not seek the it, as it were, that God chooses to bring in our life. But it could be something that is incredibly powerful. I think about many of the books I've read. Who were people that had experiences in life, and they focused on that one thing, to exalt a Savior who's good, a Savior who's kind, a Savior who is worthy of praise, a Savior who loves all of his children. But also they recognized that the it that they might have written about in this book, the it that became an important part of the impact of their life, came from God. That while they might suffer for a season, others around them might use it, that they might recognize a Savior who is worthy of all praise and honor and glory. I think about the scripture that Paul has given in the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse, where he wrote this very simple scripture. Most of us could quote this very easily. It's our go-to scripture when we're having a difficult day. And Paul wrote, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Is that true? That is true. We may not want to do the things that God calls us to do. We may not want to deal with the it or the thing in our life that Joseph had to deal with. Betrayal, abandonment, isolation, false imprisonment, all these type things. But I tell you, the truth of the matter is, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And so can you. We live in a very lost world around us today. I don't know that it's any exaggeration to say that the Christian population as a percentage of the people on the earth is shrinking. You don't have to agree with that. But the population is swelling, the number of people that are out there. And I thank God for every soul that gets saved. And certainly this church participates in that. In just a few weeks, we're going to give out 1,000 or more gospel tracts and what have you. We go out every once a month, every Saturday. The pastor stands here and just preaches the Word of God Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. This church is ministering to the lost that they might be saved before it's eternally too late. But the fact of the matter is, most of the world around us today is lost. And you're going to face adversity. You're going to face it in the office around you. You're going to face it in the neighborhood. You're going to face it in the relationships sometimes you have in your family. Cindy and I stopped a couple of months ago. We were going door to door, and we talked to a lady, and she said, "My granddaughter is an atheist." And she said, "It just breaks my heart because I love Christ. I believe in the Bible. But it's difficult, Brother Larry, because her granddaughter has chosen another path." Folks, I would tell you that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. David wrote these verses in Psalms 43. He knew that he could trust God in the good situations where we praise him and in the bad situations where we don't want to be, but we still can praise him. Now, I wonder this evening about your life. And this is a message that God has given me. I know it's for someone that's here tonight, but there's something in your life maybe where you say, "I just absolutely hate what's going on," and yet God means it unto good. Would you stand this evening and bow in prayer?